We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Week 17 Gilcast. I'm Davis Matic. I'm joined by Sammy Reed and Nate Noling. You are either listening to this on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast feed or the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Football feed. We are here. It is New Year's Day. Sammy is recording this from what looks like a dungeon. It's a more reasonable time for Nathan and I here in the Central Time Zone. We did not do a show for you last week because, believe it or not, the morning after Christmas, or no, it was literally Christmas Day. The excuse to your wife of I have to go record my virgin fantasy football podcast on Christmas morning. It doesn't work so good. The wife would not be okay
with that one.
Well, I played some dog shit last week, and I played some dog shit this week. So guys, you know the fugue state that you're in between Christmas Day and New Year's Day.
Yeah,
that's like that. It somehow transitioned to my lineups. Like it was like my brain was inoperable, which we are going to get to, and we're gonna get to the lineups. But this is the preview I will give for you. If you're like, I don't know if I want to listen, kind of low energy. These guys are hungover, whatever.
So hungover, by the way.
Nate told us in our group chat that he is gonna take an L today, and the L that he's going to take is the most deserved of almost anything Nate has ever done. So there's your preview. These are the scores. Whirling Dervish, 135.66. Nate N, 128.68. I, of course, this is the worst swap I've ever made. This was the dumbest swap I've ever made. If I wouldn't have swapped, I would have just cashed. I didn't do a good job at looking what people played. I scored 101.46 points. But do you guys want to know the ultimate kicker? The ultimate kicker is that two guys who sent me a 109 this week played worse than me. So I didn't even lose 100% because I shipped two 109s. So whoever played worse than me, shout out to you. It was a pretty weird slate because there were two radically different roster constructions available to you based on if you were going to play Tyrod Taylor at quarterback or Jalen Hurts at quarterback. And it's very rare that the options are so polarized like that.
Yeah. I mean, because it totally changed your lineup. And I would say going into Sunday, I was pretty confident with Brissett. But with Brissett being ruled out, I didn't feel as good about the Tyrod team. And so I think it was probably, I don't think it was before 10 a.m. that I ever looked at a Hurts team. Like I was on different construction.
Wait, so you thought there was an appreciable difference between Brissett and Tyrod Taylor?
That strikes very significantly. Absolutely insane.
Very significantly. The Washington offense, from an overall efficiency standpoint, when you look at what Sam Howell's done versus the Giants and the way that they like game flow, game script. I mean, there's games where the Giants like want to throw the ball less than 25 times. Like Tyrod in this spot, I could
but
have
they were
totally
never
going
to be able to do that against the Rams.
Well, I mean, the Rams are not the same like pace up spot that you that they were earlier in the season. So
no, but they're just good. They were 5.5 point road favorites. That's the market telling you that they're like way better than the Giants. That's like the market saying they're like 8 points better than the Giants.
Yeah, I had Tyrod projecting very differently than Brissett.
I mean, I will. Okay. I don't do projections anymore, which. Thank God.
I really missed the projections bit from Davis. Like, wow, I've been working on this all week, and you know, I have Brissett.
Well, what's crazy is I'm just imagining, you know, our friends that established the run, Cardi, you know, it's New Year's Eve. They're like trying to balance all their shit. They gotta live lives, and like they're just sweating out, like, I don't know, should I make the Giants 3% run heavier? Like Tyrod's projecting like outrage. Like, I just, you know, shout out to the boys who you know, just do all of the hard work that allow us to continue to do these activities. So I thought there were two quarterbacks in play, Tyrod and Hurts. I guess you maybe could have gotten away with Stidham. That was something that I heard people like starting to get on like right before lock, like maybe like 30 minutes before lock. People were like, oh, you know, what about Stidham? Actually, Nate, I think you made the point. I don't remember who it was, but someone was like, that game is a 37 total. Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing with Stidham? So I was like, that's probably dumb.
You know, he's better than Russell Wilson. So how could you not?
What's crazy is that I think ultimately there were really only two lock plays of the whole slate. And it was McCaffrey and Zamir White. And I think literally every other spot in your lineup, I would have heard an argument for like multiple players. Now, what I ended up doing was literally the dumbest possible thing, which was playing a Patriots wide receiver and fucking $4,600 Rashid Shaheed. I mean, honestly, take my cash game grinder card away. Like, literally take it away. What did I just have like a momentary psychosis? Like, what was that? That was so dumb.
Here's it. First of all, I'm not going to disagree with you. That was egregiously dumb. But second of all, I think week 17 is tough, man. Week 17 is really tough. You know, you're talking about this like hangover between Christmas and New Year's, and I think that's true. But it's also like, I don't know, week 17, you have all these sweats everywhere, right?
So true. Yeah. I'm not thinking that much about DFS.
Yeah. Like I definitely played like less volume in DFS than I usually do. I was sweating out the seasonal stuff. Me and you were in the pentathlon. I'm sweating that out. It's like, you know, I got plans for New Year's and all this stuff. And it's just like, yo, it takes up less of my mental energy, I think. And like when I'm rooting for stuff throughout the day, I'm not even like thinking about DFS really. Yeah.
Well, like, and I think week 17 is the beginning of where that like information edge comes in. It's similar to like, obviously we're going to get it in full force next week at week 18, but week 17, you're so far removed from just like raw projection to more being able to like identify spots and places that you want and don't want exposure to, like this Broncos game. I mean, the Stidham Wilson thing. I mean, we're so far removed from projections. You couldn't have had any mathematical basis behind the Stidham play, but there is an information edge there.
Are you trying to say it's maybe a little bit more of an art?
One could say it's a little more of an art.
Yeah,
and Davis. And Davis.
I mean, here's the thing. I really failed myself because I didn't play maybe my favorite player in the NFL in Wandale Robinson, and I played Rashid Shaheed instead, which is just like, it's betraying a core principle to my being. This is the team that I played. I played Tyrod Taylor. Let me pull it up. I played Tyrod Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, Zamir White. These were the guys who were locked. Rashid Shaheed, DeMario Douglas, Kyren Williams, and I didn't have a defense. So what I ended up doing was I swapped Rashi Rice, Gerald Everett, and which one? Was it the Broncos or the Chargers defense that everyone played?
The Broncos.
Because I had the Broncos defense. And then I thought I was further behind than I was, I guess. I really should have looked closer at this because I had two people who played the same team as me, and they said they just kept it and they shipped. So pretty bad. But I swapped Rashi Rice, Gerald Everett, and the Broncos defense to Richie James, Travis Kelce, and the Steelers defense. I mean, whatever. It was a dumbass swap.
It's tough to swap and take that big of a like equity hit at tight end, you know, moving down from Everett to Kelsey.
And then Everett outscores Kelsey.
Well, that's the thing. When you give up that much points of projection at tight end, I mean, you know, you're going to lose. Yeah.
When you go from like a young, man who can like move his body in any direction, like he just is, you know, Gerald Everett is capable of moving forward and backward and side to side. And right now it appears that Travis Kelsey can't do any of those things. Just like absolutely none of them. And then the other swap I looked at was Jamar Chase and Lucas Kroll, who is the receiving tight end. I don't even know what I think Kroll had like 2 for 13 or whatever. So he beat Kelsey. But Chase wouldn't have got there anyway. So whatever, either of the swaps I considered would not have gotten there. Let's see. Whirling Dervish played Sammy. I think you played the correct team. You played Tyrod Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, Zamir White, Tyreek Hill, DeMario Douglas, Wandale Robinson, Gerald Everett, Devin Achane, and the Broncos defense. Nate, you played, you got there, but fucking, you are an idiot. You are.
Yeah, story of the 2023 season.
Yeah, you ended it in the way. You played Jalen Hurts, Christian McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott, Rashi Rice, DeMario Douglas, and then you son of a bitch, dude. You played Darius Slayton in a non-Tyrod lineup. The guy plays Darius Slayton in a non-Tyrod lineup, gets there, Gerald Everett, Zamir White, and the Broncos.
Wait a goddamn minute. So I just want to tell you guys, like, I didn't see either of your lineups.
I didn't see this until this morning.
I haven't seen it until right now. Nate, what the fuck?
Okay, first of all, Nate, why would I need to play Darius Slayton in a Tyrod lineup? The reason you play Darius Slayton is because you're paying up at Hurt, like for Hurts. If I would have played Tyrod, I wouldn't have needed Darius Slayton. Darius Slayton is a $4,400.
Wandale was the Giants wide receiver to play.
Yes, if I had $4,000, but at $3,400, it was between him and Cedric Wilson. Like that was all I had for my construction. So the $200 was actually like I was trying to get up
to
Cedric.
To see Cedric Wilson score after we played him that week, and he literally was the least uninvolved person in the history of professional football.
It hurts so badly. It hurts extraordinarily badly. You hate to see it, frankly. Like
the mistake I made has nothing to do with playing Darius Slayton. Darius Slayton was a 3.4 wide receiver. I mean, everybody had to find punt wide receivers in the slate. It just happened that Slayton got the deep target again, like he did on Monday night, which I mean, Darius Slayton made my Christmas as well. So thankful for him over the last 2 weeks because he brought me cash on Monday too. But the mistake I made was not playing freaking Devon Achane. Like I legit played Ezekiel Elliott over Devon Achane, and I felt good about that edge. It wasn't like a blind spot. I was like confident going into lock. I was like, man, Elliott's going to get the workload. This Achane thing, he's still banged up. Jeff Wilson's going to have 2 touchdowns and tilt everybody, and I'm going to be riding off into the sun with Ezekiel Elliott and his 8 targets.
If I can give you a compliment before I dunk on you, I would say these sorts of situations are generally your strength, where you are able to see the guy that everyone loves, and it's just based on crazy efficiency or like, I don't know, he's fast or he's funny on social media, whatever it is. The guy that everyone loves, you are generally able to kind of parse it out. But you trying to explain to me yesterday that Jeff Wilson Jr. was going to be the workhorse running back for the Miami Dolphins was some of the dumbest logic I have ever heard from you. Because, and I even, Nate, this is literally how much I tried to help you. I went into the play-by-play data from that game last week, looked where Raheem Mostert got hurt, and then counted the snaps between the two guys for the rest of the game.
He grinded the film for Nate.
Mostert went out and Achane was ahead of Wilson like 2-1 from that point on. So like and we've seen this happen with running backs before, right? So it's not that I didn't understand what you were going for, which is the starter gets injured and then the pace and space back stays in his role. And then the guy who barely ever plays comes in and takes like the starter role or whatever, right? This is like classic, Jonathan Taylor with the Colts back in the day, like when they would have Nyheim Hines and Hines would stay in the role. And then, whatever shit water would come in and run on first and second downs. But the confounding factor of this being like an absolute must-win game for the Dolphins, where this was like the biggest game they played all year, and Waddle is out. They didn't have the luxury to use Jeff Wilson as a plotter for the whole game. Like this game was crying out for Devin Achane.
That's what I missed. Like I do think like. I think part of it is a skill set that comes from NBA when you understand like player archetypes. A lot of people just plug and play like backups and don't understand like how player usage actually works. And so I think like that is actually a skill set I think I have, is understanding player archetypes and realizing that like certain guys are not going to be used differently just because the guy in front of them is out. Like what Mostert and Achane basically play different positions, and the way that Miami has used Achane has been like artificially limited all season. I didn't think that Mostert was the reason Achane wasn't getting more usage. It was simply how the Dolphins wanted to use him. And so I didn't think that the Mostert news drastically affected Achane. I thought it affected him enough that I took a lot of his stale props overnight, you know, when the news came out. And so that was obviously financially helpful, but I didn't think like from a workload standpoint that it drastically affected it. And I thought Zeke, who had 25 targets over the past three games and was like the clear number one and just was going to get all the dump downs, I thought Zeke was like, from a projectable volume standpoint, just a much better play, even though Achane's efficiency is off the charts. It's not a skill-based decision. It was solely I misread the workload need that they were going to have. They didn't have the opportunity to play the way they had all year. And so I just had a total miss, and I should have played Achane 1,000%. Luckily I didn't, because my Achane lineup that I had sitting ready to swap into like at 11:58 had like DeAndre Hopkins and Shahid, and I would have lost. But
so you're not really taking a full L because
taking the L. I should have played Achane.
I'll say this. So, I didn't have Davis Maddock grinding film that ended up making me money on my 2023 bingo card. And that's what happened, because I actually had some similar concerns as Nate. I didn't know the exact snap counts from last week. And so watching the game, I thought I kind of saw a lot of Jeff Wilson Jr. after most of it.
It's because it's so jarring when you're watching a Dolphins game to not see Achane get the ball. It's totally what it is, where it's the same thing as like when Rico Dowdle gets a touch when you're needing Tony Pollard. You're like, oh my God, this Dowdle guy, he's everywhere. Well, they never take Dowdle off the field.
Totally.
And then you go back and you look at it and you're like, actually, Achane played 65% of the snaps or whatever.
Yeah, but the other thing is like, Jeff Wilson Jr. is the one person on Miami who's not fast. So when he gets the ball, you're like, oh yeah, this is weird. So I was actually
fast. Wilson is very fast still. And he also has the history with McDaniel that goes way back. So like there was
sure.
Like I love Achane. Don't get me wrong. I think his talent is unbelievable. So excited he's in the league. But like the Jeff Wilson thing, I don't know. Like, I do think that there was games that I could have seen this playing out where Jeff Wilson got significant workload. And honestly, Jeff Wilson would have scored touchdowns. Jeff Wilson is not.
Yeah, maybe if they would have stayed competitive, Wilson could have gotten 12 touches to Achane 21 or whatever.
I don't know that he's Mostert and Achane fast.
Yeah, he's not the same degree. I mean, Achane and Mostert both in college were track athletes. Like they both actually like competitively ran. Mostert's story is actually crazy. If you go back, and he never ran. He didn't even run for 1,000 yards combined in college. Ree Mostert, which is pretty wild.
He's got 21 touchdowns this season.
Yeah.
Like players don't score 20 touchdowns on a regular basis. Like the list in the last like 15, 20 years is pretty small.
It's more than he's got more than McCaffrey, right?
I don't think so. Oh, maybe.
I think
they might both have 21, something like that. Regardless, it's insane, you know. Yeah. I mean, this doesn't happen often, so hats off to
McCaffrey.
Raheem Mostert
and Mostert both have 21. Okay, let's see what other wide receiver was pretty interesting, just because there were, like, if you look at the dispersed ownerships, like DeMario Douglas was 59%. But outside of that, there were like Sheed was 35%, Rashee Rice was 20%, Alave was 20%, Slayton was actually, to Nate's credit, like not unowned. It wasn't like completely off the wall. He was 13%. I think, Sammy, you got close to the right distribution. I think ultimately and I mean, obviously the results would bear this out, but I think pre-lock, what felt better to me was not getting up to Tyreek, but it was the combination of guys you played, Tyreek, Douglas, and Wandale. I think the pre-lock with all the information available, the right combo was Rashee Rice, Zay Flowers, and Wandale
I wanted it, and then we got this goddamn report.
The nebulous report about Zay Flowers maybe being on a pitch count. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there an instance of anybody getting reported to be on a pitch count where the
and
guy then doesn't
you?
Yeah. The guy doesn't Never. Immediately play every snap and go for 100 and a touchdown. It's like 100% hit rate, and I should have known that. Because I had Flowers in my original lineup. But like in the end, I thought this slate was really defined by, you were talking about there weren't that many locks. I think the other thing is like there wasn't a lot of value, right?
That was the big thing, is every wide receiver felt kind of like a dart throw because there wasn't a jam.
Yeah, and those things are kind of closely related, but I think in the end, this is why I decided that I wanted to have Tyreek and CMC in the same lineup.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's like you're dart throwing everywhere else. Why not kind of make a stars and scrubs lineup then, where you have two of the most bankable fantasy assets in CMC and Tyreek Hill, and then, you know, use, because you're not like getting value at 5,600 receiver, 5,000 receiver or whatever, like just get the shitty value at $4,000 receiver and push it all into guys who can break the slate. That's kind of the way I thought about it. And this is why, you know, I didn't actually disagree with Nate playing Jalen Hurts, you know, like I normally would not sign up on that.
So I don't disagree with it. I think the Hurts team was fine. I mean, obviously Nate got like giga bailed out by Darius Slayton scoring a 77-yard touchdown, which is like, whatever. I mean, that's why you play Darius Slayton. So I'm not even saying, like, I think Slayton was fine. I really don't think there's anything bad or indefendable about that in any way. I think the reason why I was not comfortable with Hurts was that you were not able to play Kyren Williams, who I viewed as like a legit priority. And ultimately, I mean, I might be the idiot for thinking that there was a huge separation between Kyren and Achan. Like,
no,
what's funny is that you guys both, or you played Achan after I went in and looked at that play by play stuff. And then I didn't end up playing Achan.
Yeah.
I was surprised. Achan starts going off immediately. He goes for like 80 yards in the first two drives. And I'm like cheering in our group chat. And then you're like, I didn't play him. I was like, wait,
what? Because I thought Kyren was the second priority at running back, which is like, I don't think is like bad, but it's sort of like, it's kind of like reptile brain, where I'm kind of still kind of treating Kyren Williams like he's a $7,100 player, but he was 8,300, you know?
Yeah. I thought Kyren was a really good play. The reason I didn't play Kyren, and because I did have Kyren as the third running back, like from a pure, it was like CMC, Zamir White, Kyren Williams were the top three salary adjusted running back plays for me. But the reason I didn't get to Kyren was actually because I thought that Rashee Rice was the best wide receiver play by a mile. Like,
yeah, well, that's who I had.
Rashee Rice to me was like worth building my lineup around. I thought that wide receiver overall was a really weak position. Obviously Tyreek's great at 93, but like the rest of your lineup was dog shit if you played Tyreek. And I thought the Rashee, Nico, Olave, I thought Rashee was clearly the best of those three mid-tier guys. And so I was just not going to roll into Sunday without Rashee Rice. And especially after that news came out, what was it, in the morning, of like, hey, we're going to play less packages. I'm like, finally, they're going
to
play
real
football.
And by the way, I wanted to touch on that report. Literally could not have been more of a lie. The first drive that the Kansas City Chiefs scored on, six wide receivers played. It was the same starting group that had been out there all year long. Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Hardman both were Marquez Valdez-Scantling started. Noah Gray and Travis Kelce were out there. Hardman subbed in before Richie James. Justin Ross subbed in before Richie James. But then you know what happened? You know what happened? They were sucking ass. They were behind at halftime, and Richie James started playing. So, like, which by you obviously see in my swap that I sort of believe that report. It was dumb of me to believe that report. I mean, the swap was whatever. We can talk more about that. But
yeah, the report was nonsense. The report was just wrong.
Yeah, it was. But yeah. The Rice play, I agree with you. He was, I think, first. Nico had a good game, but he was definitely first of the Alave, Nico, Rice tier that everyone played. Now
I'm glad it happened because I would have played Nico. Like yeah. I was on team Nico.
I mean, Nico
spot.
Had it. Let's see how many.
He had 7 for 80 on eight targets.
He had 15 points, and so we only lost to Rice by 5.
He would add more, but Tennessee couldn't hang. You know?
Rice had a very efficient game. If Mahomes plays his normal game in this, and they have normal amount of passing attempts.
But
Rice
he did
smashes,
play his normal
yeah.
game. He
yeah, Nate, you got to adjust, man. Like this is our new reality.
It's week 17, man. Like it's not going to transform overnight. Like they are a struggling passing offense. Now, guys, I have not seen this distribution of ownership at wide receiver in cash games in a long time. These are the ownerships of the top 6 guys in cash in the $50 double up. Demario Douglas was the most popular at 60%. Shaheed was 35%. Tyreek was 23%, which means a lot of people played something close to what Sammy did. Mm. Rashee was 21%. Alave was 20%. Nico was 17%, which means a lot of people were deciding between those three guys. Then Zay Flowers. So a lot of people did the 7K wide receiver, Zay Flowers, Wandale, Slayton, whoever. DeAndre Hopkins was 13%. Cardi played our team. Cardi played a similar distribution to our team, but he did Pittman, Hopkins, Douglas as his three wide receivers, and that team was pretty duped. Slayton was 12%. Brandon Johnson of the Denver Broncos was 11%, which means
is that true?
People either played him in that Slayton spot or they did what I did and they had to swap off of Rashee Rice.
I almost swapped into a Brandon Johnson team. I almost swapped to Brandon Johnson and Kelsey. What was Kelsey's ownership?
Like negative, yeah, 3%.
Yeah, people see the writing on the wall, Nate.
Well, no, because Kelsey Johnson was the swap off of Rashee Everett. So, like, if you went down,
people are still not swapping.
But if
they're really not. Now that I'm looking at it, no chance anyone swapped. It was just that they knew all these wide receivers were out for Denver, and they played them where people played Wandale or Slayton or name your 3K. Fucking Rashee Shaheed. I'm just an idiot.
Honestly, Rashee Shaheed is the reason I made money. So many people played Rashee Shaheed and his 4 expected points. I mean, I'm very glad I did not play a Shaheed team. It was just
bad play by me, honestly. Just like not thinking. Like you know, that's more of a, because Shaheed was in all the optimals. So, you know, that's such a defense mechanism to be like, oh, he was in the optimals. Like, how bad could it be? But like, that's literally the art, is to be able to be like, no, this is, which by the way, 2 weeks ago, Shaheed was in all the optimals. And I said, this guy's the worst play on the slate.
This guy's not a cash game play because his median is just going to be like so far away from like what ends up happening, good or bad.
Yeah, it was just bad by me. And to not play Wandale, like my guy, like my literal short king, and he scores a fucking rushing touchdown.
Good. You know who nobody played, who, I mean, we can talk about it because I played him in tournaments, but Greg Dortch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Greg Dortch is just goated at all times. And I should have had the stones to play him.
Yeah. So ultimately, Sammy played the right team almost. The team, both in results and process-wise, that I think showed the greatest acumen would have been Tyrod, McCaffrey, White, Rashee Rice, Zay Flowers, Wandale, Everett, A-Chain, and the Broncos defense. Nate played fucking dusty-ass Ezekiel Elliott instead of Devin A-Chain in the year of our Lord 2023, got bailed out by Darius Slayton. Just the ultimate, he can't keep getting away with it moment.
Darius Slayton isn't a bailout. Darius Slayton literally led the Giants in Whopper. He's Tyrod's like main deep.
Darius
like,
Slayton.
Save
is,
a line. Darius, save a line.
Stop acting Darius like this Darius Slayton thing was like a one play. Oh, he played one snap and caught an 80-yard touchdown. No, he's out there literally every snap running the routes that you want.
Save a line, Tyrod, Nate. Darius Slayton is Rashid Shaheed on the New York Giants with Tyrod Taylor as his quarterback.
For $1,000 cheaper.
Look, I'm not saying that's not accurate. I'm just saying you did get bailed out. You got it.
No, Rashid Shaheed has never led the Saints in Whopper in a single week. Oh. Where Slayton has done it multiple weeks in a row with Tyrod.
Oh, guys, we couldn't let you start your 2024 without Nate saying the line. All right, let's do tournament teams. So the shit I played, the Sims, I mean, the Sims every single week want Purdy doubles or triples. I had no interest in playing McCaffrey in tournaments. I just, at his salary and at the salary constraints this week, without obvious puns, I just was like, he literally might have to get like 45 to kill you in tournaments this
week. Well, see, that's what the Sims, that's what the Sims told you all week, is they like Purdy teams without McCaffrey.
So that's what I did. And I played five teams yesterday, which is more than I normally do, because my thought process was, I'm going to play Mahomes stacks and I'm going to play Purdy stacks. I'm going to do one 49er on every team. I'm going to do one Ram on every team. And then I did one team that was a Lamar team. And I mean, obviously, like, Lamar absolutely smashed, but I wanted to do this team, not because it was like a good score or whatever, but to actually show you why those sorts of rules are helpful in the aggregate, probably, but can really degrade your lineup at like a sim level. So this was a team that was in the 3-point stance, $33 five backs. Lamar, Zach Charbonnet, Devin Achane, Puka Nacua, Zay Flowers, Wandale, George Kittle, Zamir White, and the Panthers defense. So I played Charbonnet, and the reason why I did was, one, this lineup obviously needed some salary relief. That's the thing that sticks out like a sore thumb. The reports around Kenneth Walker all week were either he's not going to play or he's like going to get re-injured, and he did literally get re-injured in this game. He had to go to the locker room in the second half. And Charbonnet's been the passing down back anyways. In fact, I think he only got like two rush attempts or whatever in this game, but he caught five passes. That part is not really that interesting. It's just like a off the wall, like, whatever. And honestly, I was not looking at swaps. I just was like, these teams are all dog shit, because the rest of this team, Achane's got his points or whatever. I played Puka Nacua on this team. I used Zay Flowers instead of Isaiah Likely. I used Wandale. But the reason why this team was dead was I played $5,600 George Kittle instead of Isaiah Likely on this team. Kittle did nothing, you know, whatever. But I think it's kind of fascinating that everyone sort of agreed this was a potentially very high-scoring game. Everyone knows, like, Lamar's playing for MVP, yada, yada. Lamar was only 7 to 10% owned in contests yesterday, which, again, is strange because his stacking options, Flowers and Likely, were free. You know,
so
like,
good.
That is a bizarre thing where
when a quarterback with Lamar's upside is that low owned in tournaments, when his cash, when in cash games, his wide receivers, like the second highest, like Flowers projected to be like really owned in cash even. So like, I was shocked. I thought Lamar's ownership was going to be three times what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. I was pretty surprised by it. I mean, obviously if I could go back and know that that Likely and Zay Flowers would have giga smashed, I would have just double stacked every Lamar team. And Nacua was really low owned, which I thought was strange. I mean, I just thought that game environment was so good. I guess what ended up happening was everyone just played 49ers. Like, every 49er player was just so owned. And
yeah,
you know, again, they probably should have been. My take going into the week was like, the 49ers are going to be pissed off. They want Purdy to be eligible for MVP. Like, they're going to let him throw in the fourth quarter. The Commanders just couldn't do anything in the second half. Like, had the Commanders put up just a smidge, just an ounce of resistance, they probably could like really gotten there, and the Commanders just could not do anything. It was completely brutal.
Yeah. I mean, that was my take as well. So what I played in the SPY was a 49ers onslaught.
Yep.
I legit played Purdy, McCaffrey, Debo, and George Kittle.
Wait, say and that again?
Purdy, McCaffrey, Debo, and Kittle.
Here's the thing.
At McCaffrey's
salary, I obviously this is literally that I think that exact combination of players has already won $1 million this season. But on this slate with McCaffrey's salary, I did not see any Sims with that combination. I saw a lot of Purdy, Debo, Ayuk, Kittle.
Yeah.
Kittle and Debo. You know,
I'm sure the Sims were not big on my team. But you know, when you're playing, they probably
were not big on my team either.
Yeah. I mean, when you're playing, you know, higher dollar single entry tournaments, which I do, it's just like, let's just try to roll it up. I legit had a dream last night that the 49ers won like 45-3. And I woke up and I'm like, this is happening. Let's go. So I just smashed it in. And then obviously I filled it in with a bunch of dog shit, which I'll now relate to you. Zamir White obviously is in this lineup. Demario Douglas is in this lineup. Greg Dortch is in this lineup because Dortch is goated. I thought he was the key to unlocking it all. I'm just like, oh yeah, Dortch is happening. And then the final piece that needed to happen was a $3,700 receiver. I forewent Darius Slayton to play.
Hyatt.
No, Quentin Johnston.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. The Sims are not pleased. Yeah, well, I wish you guys could see Davis's face right
that's
now.
That's part of the reason why you can't.
Davis looks like he just smelled a fart. Like, man, I know.
Like, honestly, to be constructive, like, not that I'm not having a good tournament year. Like, I'm definitely down thousands of dollars in tournaments this year. Like, so not that I can speak to you from a position of being like a fucking oracle or whatever. But a thing the Sims have taught me is that the scattering dog shit guys with 5-point projections in with very high projected players
is not good.
Now, yeah. Obviously, that's going to be like context and slate dependent. Like, you could be like, actually, if you go back and look at week 10, the highest projected team was actually Purdy triples with assorted dog shit. But by and large, what I found that the Sims were telling me was like, I was playing, actually, funnily enough, like Quentin Johnson and Jackson Smith and Jigba at like 4,100 in order to fit these perfectly curated double stacks with double bringbacks or whatever. And those teams were giving me like, -97% ROI. Like, this team can never win.
For sure. And you know what's funny is I was actually convinced. I was very confident this team was going to win the SPY. I was extremely confident.
Buddy, we have all been there pre-locked. Like,
once I was done and hit submit, I was like, oh yeah, like here we go. Greg Dort. Like the thing is, and I shit you not, I know that the Sims hate the assorted dog shit, but I knew that Greg Dortch was not dog shit. So I was like,
right.
Okay, well, that's one less piece that I have to worry about that's low priced and not good, you know?
Well, the Sims actually probably would have not hated Dortch in itself. The play that the Sims would have hated.
They like Michael Wilson.
Yeah, but I mean, you split the difference. Like, you kind of have to know, I mean, that's such a funny thing, but you kind of have to know what the Sims know and what they don't know. And like, the Sims are not able to tell the difference between Dortch and Michael Wilson, even though we know one. But what the Sims would have hated would have been playing Giga Chalk stack, right? So Purdy Super Chalk, McCaffrey Super Chalk, all the 49ers Super Chalk with Super Chalk to Mario Douglas. They would have been like that. There's just no point in that.
Yeah,
so
if
true,
you would have gone
but
to like Devontae or someone else as leverage off of DeMario or someone like Slayton, just because having a chalk low price guy like that, if he goes off, you're not separating from the field meaningfully at all.
Yeah. So what's interesting though is this stack isn't as chalky as you would think. So Purdy.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get into because I also went with the Purdy team as well.
Yeah.
And
so
ownership was not what I thought it was.
Not at all. Like, so in the SPY, anyways, and this will be different in like multi-entry contests, etc. But Purdy 16%, CMC 38.5%, OBS. Debo 16%, Kittle 7.7%.
Yeah.
So Kittle, if you Kittle put those four guys together, I'll bet it's actually really, really low. Yeah, the combination of the four.
Yeah. Yeah, I also played a Purdy team. I felt pretty good about the Purdy non-CMC teams. And I thought Kittle was like a great leverage spot on this slate. Obviously, Kittle didn't get there, so it kind of sucked. But I went Purdy, Debo, Ayuk, Kittle. And then this was an Achan team. So I went Achan, who I thought was going to be low-owned for his potential upside.
What did he end up getting?
14% in the
okay,
yeah, and then Zamir White was way owned, and then I had Michael Wilson as my kind of one-off low price upside play.
Sure.
Texans D, and then this was a double tight end team, which I had a lot of. The Sims were spitting out a lot of Kittle, Schultz.
Well,
teams.
The double tight ends are just gonna always kind of be favorable and sim well on slates like this, where there's just not a ton of value.
Yeah. So I felt good about this team because I thought like my lower price guys like Wilson actually had significant upside along with my stack, and then my one off in Achan I thought also like felt really good. So overall, this team did okay. I mean, it was like a 2-3x or whatever in tournaments. But with Kittle and Schultz not getting there, it didn't have the massive upside. But I really like the construction of this team and would do it again, I think.
Yeah, I think it was pretty sharp doing just kind of the Purdy non-CMC stuff, like in retrospect. I was actually following the narrative that Shanahan knew that Purdy was dust and he was going to try to give McCaffrey the MVP. I was like, we're going back to that where he starts force feeding him. And then, of course, McCaffrey pulls his calf in, you know, the second quarter and it's over. So
which my seasonal dynasty championship needed very much. So appreciate that, CMC.
Yeah. Congratulations, Nate.
I won a dynasty league that I've been in since COVID, where I selected Clyde Edwards-Helaire over Jonathan Taylor, Joe Burrow, and CeeDee Lamb in the rookie draft.
Mm.
And it honestly is one of my proudest accomplishments. It's all these guys, Leone and Dink and JJ and Amico and all these guys, Sean Siegel, and I like literally.
Yeah, so when you take CEH, they're all just chuckling to themselves.
Like
and
literally everyone is just like classic Davis, like taking the chief, like just like so obvious. And I fully tanked in this league, traded away all my, I had Mahomes in the startup draft, traded him away, like just tore it down to the fucking studs and rebuilt it up. And, you know, who got me across the finish line?
Was it a short king?
Isaiah Pacheco, 33 points, took me from second place to first place last night. And it is one of my favorite accomplishments in fantasy football. I mean, I, what's so sick, this is, I'll leave you guys with a little parable here before we head into cash game week next week. Easily had one of the most successful fantasy football years of my career. Ran at like 99th percentile in all home leagues. Top 30 finish in the main event. Really high finish in the silver bullet. Got like almost made my money back on best ball, entering like nothing but lotto style tournaments where like 97% of the money is in first place. And I still absolutely hate myself because it's, you know, I didn't get the shipper. Like I didn't have the screenshot, and it's like, had this happened to me 5 years ago, had I had this season, like winning multiple dynasty leagues, all this shit, I won the Roto World Friends and Family League, which I don't think I've ever even made the playoffs in.
The pentathlon. We won the pentathlon.
Yeah, Sammy and I shipped this five-legged event thing that Derek Van Riper puts together that is like our favorite thing to talk about every single week. And I still, waking up on January 1st, 2024, absolutely hate myself because I didn't have the shipper. It's unreal, dude. Social media is literally so poison for the brain. It's crazy.
It has warped us.
How'd you guys
can't take joy in good things.
Yeah, no joy. I feel no joy this morning.
Yeah.
What do they say? Comparison is the ultimate robber of joy.
Yeah, comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah.
Yeah, this has been by far my best cash year from a percentage standpoint. My volume's a little lower than it's been in years past, but yeah, it's been a really fun year. I mean, I'm hoping to close week 18 with another solid one, but yeah, it's been a really solid year. Been more into props this year as well, which has been a fun, because I've always enjoyed projections and stuff. So being able to learn kind of the prop market and stuff has also been helpful. But yeah, and then in seasonal, actually had a decent year too. I had some best ball teams that got to not the finals, but semifinals and did okay. Got a bunch of like seconds and thirds in those pods, which sucks. But yeah, it was probably my most like successful year, even though I hate football more now than I ever have. So
as you should, it's awful. I'll just say, you know, I kind of like you, Davis. I ran hot in week 17, you know, like kind of all over the place. Week 17 is like, I was a basket case yesterday. I mean, with all the sweats, with everything going on.
I wasn't even having fun. I really was not even having fun.
Not even a little bit, no.
Like week 16, sweating the best ball stuff. I had 10 teams alive on DraftKings at the start of week 16 and had zero left at the end. Like, I have not had fun really sweating this stuff the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's awful. Like, I have some buddies who do fantasy that, like, literally they just kind of set it. And then they go on with their lives and they come back like Sunday night and just like look at their phones and they're like, what happened? And I used to think like, how can you do this, you fucking simpleton, while I grind every little edge and watch the games and all the plays and do my swaps. And now I realize they're much smarter than me, because it's so much better for your mental health to do this than what it is that we do. That needs to be like kind of a resolution of mine, to not like grind so hard. All the anxiety I feel, the stress. I mean, it's just like not good. Like, I didn't have a good time yesterday. And I ended up running hot. Like, all the things that were up in the air for me, I won in the end, and it was awesome. And yet, all it did was cost me stress and sweat. And I need to become a noob. I need to become a wreck. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
this deep sweating, not great, but good season overall in the end.
It was a good season overall. I mean, ultimately I want to actually grind even harder next year. Like, I want to get more entries in. I want to get more money down. I want to max like as much as possible, but I want to sweat less, if that makes sense. Like,
exactly. Like, exactly. Like, grind more, sweat less. Like, the sweat gives you basically nothing except these couple moments over the years where everything goes right for you and they sink into your mind. It's like playing golf, where you hit one fucking good shot and you're like, that's the feeling I'm trying to chase every time I go back out there. And it's so like few and far between. You're putting in so many hours and so much work for like just this little like crazy good dopamine hit. It's pretty wild, but yeah, I agree with you. Like, in the end, I think we've all had like good cash game years in DK. And
yeah, boy, is it going to be a rude fucking awakening next year when we don't go on a run where we win 10 weeks in a row.
Oh yeah. The people are going to love this show next year. It's going to the top of the charts in 2024.
The swing is going to be brutal.
Yeah. Not particularly looking forward to that. I am looking forward to week 18, cash game week. Peter Overzet will be joining the program. Pete is hard at work Monday, January 1st, 2024, working on his cash game shell. We are going to be getting after it. Peter's DraftKings name is Revertsy Top. It is an anagram of his name. You can add Nate Noling as a friend on DraftKings social if you want to send him a game. Sammy's DraftKings name is Whirling Dervish. My DraftKings name is Davis Matic, Mattek. And we will be looking forward to joining the cash game streets with you all next week. See you then. Good luck, everybody.